Kings chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. Please stand together with me out of honor to God and His word as I read 2 Kings 4, beginning in verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day when he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Thank you. May be seated. So we are looking at Mother's Day, Mother's Day. By the way, I know just from that text right there, I heard some of you kind of groaning at the end. It has a happy ending, okay? So it turns out okay. But speaking of mothers, there was a man came home from work, and he found his three children outside still in their pajamas, playing in the mud with empty food boxes and wrappers all around the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house. Walking inside, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was wadded against one wall. The TV was loudly blaring, and the family room was strewn with toys and clothes. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. The fridge door was opened wide. Dog food was spilled on the floor. A broken glass lay under the table. A small pile of sand was spread by the back door. The man quickly headed upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or that something serious had happened. Well, he was met with a small trickle of water as it made its way out the bathroom door. As he looked inside, he found wet towels and more toys all over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste had been smeared over the mirror and walls. As he rushed into the bedroom, he found his wife still curled up in the bed in her pajamas, reading a book. She looked at him and smiled and asked how his day went. He looked at her confused and he asked, "What happened here today?" Again, she smiled and said, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me, what in the world did I do all day?" "Yes," he said. "Well, today I didn't do it." Let's look at the Shunammite mother, First of all, by way of introduction, this is a story about Elisha, the prophet, the great prophet Elisha. So Elisha, the prophet, and his servant were treated well repeatedly by this wealthy Shunammite woman. That's in verses 8 through 10. So over and over, they had been well treated by this woman. Well, one time in verse 13, upon their departure from her house, Elisha offers to return the favor. And so he says, "Look, I'll speak to the king for you. I'll speak to the commander of the army for you. You know, whatever I can do for you." And she graciously refuses his offer, stating that she gets along with everyone and she doesn't need any governmental intervention. So then Elisha, when that got shot down, he asked his servant Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" In verse 14, "What can we do for her?" So Gehazi replies that she is childless and her husband is old. So look in verse 16. Elisha promises her that she will have a baby boy within a year. Verse 16, "And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son." And so that's the introduction. Let's look at the Shunammite mother. First of all, I want you to see she desired her child. She desired her child. Now, the text does not say she asked for a child, but certainly it was her natural created desire to have a child. Once the child is promised, she accuses Elisha of lying. I read the first half of verse 16. Look at the rest of verse 16. "No," she said, "my Lord, you man of God, do not lie to me." She had gotten her hopes up before. Apparently, she didn't want to be disappointed again. And so she said, "I know you just said I'm going to have a baby. Don't be lying to me. Don't be lying to me." As we already established, this woman was a very wealthy woman. She was a great woman. But money could not buy the biological motherhood that she desperately craved. But she desired her child. Most women have a natural God-given desire to have children. And while this is a good thing, it's actually part of the curse. Look here at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. As God is meting out punishment to the sinful couple, it says, "Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you." Now, please don't misunderstand. A woman is complete. She is complete without being a mother. She is complete without being a mother. But we still honor mothers today. It is an honor to be a mother. And God has uniquely designed and equipped women to bear and raise children. This is obvious that God has uniquely designed and equipped women to bear and raise children, not only physically, but also emotionally. But physically speaking, you know, there are men today who falsely claim to be women. I'm sure you know that. there are men today who falsely claim to be women. I'm not aware of any of these men who claim to be mothers. In fact, I Googled it because I started thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if there's any men out there that think they're moms. And they don't go that far. Here's the thing. They are trying to rob womanhood of its design and purpose. They will never replace motherhood. Never replace motherhood. God has uniquely designed and equipped women to bear and raise children, not only physically, but emotionally. Well, look in verse 17. The woman becomes a mother to a son about a year later. Again, according to the time of life. But about a year later, she becomes a mother to a son. And let me say this, that conception and birth is a miracle of God. Conception and birth is a miracle of God. The biology is understandable. The miracle is unexplainable. This particular conception was extraordinary. And please catch this. Life begins at conception, not birth. Life begins at conception, not birth. That is why life must be protected at all stages and at all costs. And please note this. Abortion is murder regardless of when or why it occurs. But here's the thing. She desired her child. And I think that what a woman wants, she should want to keep. What a woman wants, she should want to keep. I cannot fathom those who desire a child for this life only. A good mother will share her faith with her children. First of all, that they may enjoy eternal life themselves. And secondly, so she can keep them forever. See, when you share your faith with your child and that child becomes a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't only have that child for this life, you have that child forever. I don't understand. A woman just wants a child for this life only. What a woman wants, she should want to keep. And so today the challenge for mothers is to model the faith for your children. How do you model the faith? Well, first of all, in daily Bible reading. Read your Bible every day. Let your children, I don't care if they're adults, let them see you reading your Bible every day. Secondly, be faithful in church and Bible study attendance. And thirdly, have an active prayer life. Model the faith for your children, that they might be saved, that they might gain eternal life. And then, on top of that, that after they gain eternal life, that you, mom, can keep your children forever. And so we see she desired her child. Secondly, I want you to see she comforted her child. She comforted her child. This is from our text this morning. One day, this boy was no longer a baby. He was in the field and he complained of head pain. In verse 18 there, he says, "My head, my head." And so his father sends him to his mother. Why? Well, the father was busy working. Not only that, the mother would make him feel better. You know, mom is the family nurse, right? Sometimes we call mom Dr. Mom. Because when the children get hurt, when the children, you know, are bleeding or something, send them to mom. And mom takes care of things. Well, from verse 20, his mother cradled him on her lap. It doesn't say what she did, but I'm sure she rocked him. She probably kissed him. Maybe she sang to him. She certainly prayed for him. And while I mentioned that mothers are uniquely equipped and designed for bearing and raising children, mothers are also uniquely equipped for comforting. Mothers are more compassionate. They're better at showing love and concern than dads are. And let's be honest, women are softer, right? So when you're hurting or something and you want somebody soft to be against, that's a mom. I know when our children got hurt, they always wanted their mama. They always wanted their mama when they got hurt. I can think of one exception to that. We were playing this back in Pennsylvania. We were playing kickball in the side yard. And my son got hit with the ball real hard, and he hurt his wrist. And so he goes up on the porch with me. And I'm looking at it. It looks okay. I mean, I know he's hurting, but it looks okay. But I was getting concerned because he kept hurting. So Debbie shows up on the porch. And she looks at him, she says, "Caston, suck it up, suck it up." Well, he kept hurting, so I took him to the emergency room. His wrist was broken. Okay, so anyway, it's funny now. The greatest comfort, though, that mothers can give their children is spiritual. Yeah, they can hug and they can kiss and they're soft and all of that. But the greatest comfort mothers can give their children is spiritual. First of all, leading their children to know Christ as their Savior, believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that Jesus was buried for their sins, and the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. The greatest comfort, mom, you can give your child is spiritual, leading them to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the second greatest comfort you can give is also spiritual, and that is letting your children know their mom is secure in Christ. Because it's going to happen to everybody. It's going to happen to all our moms one day. They're going to pass away, right? Some of you have already lost your moms. And at the funeral home or at the gravesite, you don't want your children wondering, I wonder where she is. I wonder if she made it to heaven. I wonder if she went the other direction. You want your children to say, you know, I'm sad, I miss mom, but I know she's with Jesus right now. What a comfort that is. For your children to know that when you draw your last breath, you are in heaven with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, moms are good comforters, but the greatest comfort they can give their children is spiritual, leading their children to a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and letting their children know mom is secure in Christ. And so we see that she desired her child. Secondly, we see she comforted her child. Thirdly, I want you to see that she sought God for her child. She sought God for her child. Her son died in her lap, we see in verse 20. If you look in verse 21, she laid him on a bed, and then she left the house, and she went to find Prophet Elisha. Now, the prophet Elijah was the man of God. And back in that day, the man of God exercised the power of God. So if you wanted to see the power of God in person, you needed to find the man of God, and that was Elisha at this time. She had done all a mother could do. Her son now needed God's help. She cradled him, she kissed him, she prayed for him. She's like, he needs more than I can give him. He needs God. When you go home today, you can read verses 22 to 30, and you can see how she worked tirelessly to get help for her son. She worked tirelessly to get help for her son. And she finally tracks Elisha down in verse 28. And she reminds Elisha, she said, I never asked for this child. Yeah, you promised the child. I never asked for this child. And now, why is this happening? This child that I didn't even ask for, now I have. Now he's dead. Why is this happening to me? Mothers, probably more than any other, question the death of their children. Whether their child dies from sickness or child dies in an accident, probably more than any other, mothers question, how can this be? And I wonder how many mothers have sacrificed in wartime. I must say the whys don't come easy. Why did this happen to my son? Why did this happen to my daughter? The whys don't come easy, if they come at all. And yet mothers and fathers alike can be proud of their child's service and their child's sacrifice. I remember back in 2004, I took my son to West Point. He was considering going to the military academy in West Point. Keep in mind, it's 2004. So we had a little break between our meetings. And we were sitting in this open area, and on the table in front of me was the school newspaper. And if you go to the back of the school newspaper, it'd say, you know, who's getting married and who got promoted and blah, 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 and who died. So I'm reading down there, and I saw a former graduate. He had graduated in 2004. This is 2004 now. He had graduated in spring of 2004. He went to Iraq and was instantly killed. Now, how does a mom get answers to that question? Why did this happen? He put all that time, all that effort into West Point. He graduates. You know, I don't know where he was in his class, but when you come out of West Point, you're something. You're somebody. His first assignment, he's killed. That's why I said that the whys don't come easy, if they come at all. And yet that officer, his mom and dad could be proud of his service and could be proud of his sacrifice. Well, anyway, this woman, she worked tirelessly to find Elisha and to get him to help her. And if you look in verse 33, Elisha comes and prays life back into her child. Again, it wasn't that Elisha had the power, but he was the man of God, and the man of God exercised the power of God, and so he prays life back into her son. And it's kind of strange, if you look in verse 37, she thanks him and then leaves. So Elisha brings her son back to life. She said, thanks, and then she leaves. The point is, mothers can only do so much for their children. At some point, your children must be entrusted to God. You do a lot for them, moms. You do a lot for them. But there's only so much you can do, and there's a limit to what you can do. At some point, you've got to trust them to God. You can only hold their hands so long, then you must let go and let God hold their hands. But she sought God for her child. And I wonder about you, moms. Do you seek God's blessing and direction for your children? Are you praying for your children that they would do God's will, that they would know what His will is and they would be obedient to do it? And so we see she desired her child. Secondly, she comforted her child. Thirdly, she sought God for her child. And then lastly, I want you to say that we see a little picture of Christ in this story. First of all, this boy had a marvelous birth. Now, the boy was conceived naturally with supernatural intervention. We know that Jesus was conceived supernaturally. He was conceived and born in a virgin. Very different, but again, we get a picture of Christ here with a marvelous birth. Secondly, the mysterious death. We don't know what caused this boy's death. He's just grabbing his head, saying, "My head hurts." And then he died. Well, we do know why Jesus died. He died from crucifixion. We don't understand why people would crucify an innocent man. I mean, why would somebody take Jesus, who was perfect in every way? He was good. He helped people. He healed people. He fed people. Why would somebody take a man like this and crucify him? It's a mystery. And so in the marvelous birth, we see a picture. In the mysterious death, we see a picture. And thirdly, in the miraculous resurrection, Elisha, as God's representative, brought this boy back to life. Now, it almost sounds like he performed CPR. Look in verse 34. This is interesting. It says, "And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth." Does that sound like CPR? Put his mouth on his mouth. Here's where it goes away. "And his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm." So it initially kind of sounds like CPR. The problem is with CPR, you have a very short window in which to perform that to bring that person back. Thankfully, a year and a half ago, I was within that window and I was brought back. I died under that tree, but they were able to bring me back. This boy, who knows how long it took this woman to go and find the man of God and to bring him back and all of that? We don't know. So CPR, even if this were CPR, it would have been too late. But here's where it gets interesting. Look in verse 35. After seven sneezes, the boy opens his eyes. Let's read verse 35. "Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes." Sneeze seven times. Now, I will tell you, God does not waste words in the Bible. If something is in there, there's a reason it's in there. So what is God telling us about this boy that sneezed seven times when he came back to life? Well, sneezing offers evidence that the boy was actually dead. The fact that he sneezed proves that he was dead. Why? Because sneezing cannot occur while you're asleep. I don't know if you knew that or not. You'll never wake yourself up sneezing because you can't sneeze when you're asleep. And so this kid wasn't just knocked out. He wasn't just snoozing. He was dead. And then he began to sneeze. Secondly, sneezing is a sign of life. I don't know if you know this, but the average person sneezes four times a day. Debbie and I were moving some furniture the other day, and this bed, our bed hadn't been moved since we've lived here. So it's like been there for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, whatever. I'm not criticizing her house cleaning, but there was a lot of dust under there, all right? Why are you looking mean at me? Who vacuums under the bed? Well, anyway, so we moved the bed and I sneezed. And I'd already, you know, done the statistical research here. And I said, well, that's one. I've got three more sneezes today. Now, as I recall, I didn't sneeze three more times. But the average person sneezes four times a day. Again, more evidence that this kid was dead and now he's alive. Not only that, sneezing protects the body by expelling contaminants. And while that boy was laying there, dead, what germs invaded his dead body while his mom was out trying to find Elisha? We don't know. Whatever germs were in there, he comes up and he sneezes, not once, seven times. Get it out there, get it clean. And something else. Sneezing can be caused by bright light. I don't know if this affects you. It doesn't affect me. But it is statistically a human trait that when you go out into the bright sunshine, you sneeze. Well, where had this boy been? He had been in the darkness of death. Darkness of death. And all of a sudden, it's light again. What does he do? He sneezes. God doesn't waste words in the Bible. It's important that we understand this boy sneezed because sneezing is a sign of life. He was absolutely dead, but sneezing is a sign of life. Sneezing is a protective tool that God has given our bodies, and sneezing can be caused by bright light, and I think that's exactly what we see in this case. But we were looking at how this story, the boy, is a picture of Jesus with his marvelous birth, his mysterious death, and miraculous resurrection. Well, we know when it comes to Jesus, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Now, this boy, we don't read about him again, but we know that he would die again sometime in the future. Not Jesus. Revelation 1:18 says Jesus is alive forevermore. He is risen from the dead and he is alive forevermore. And he ever lives to make intercession for those who trust in him. So this Mother's Day, as we looked at the Shunammite mother, we see, first of all, she desired her child. That's a normal created thing to want to have a child. But don't forget, a woman is complete without being a mother. She's already complete. But it is an honor to be a mother, and we are honoring our mothers here today. Secondly, we see that she comforted her child. Nobody can comfort like mom can comfort. However, remember what I said, the greatest comfort a mom can give her children is spiritual. First of all, leading them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And secondly, letting them know when she's gone, she's in heaven. Thirdly, she sought God for her child. Moms, you do great, but you can only do so much. It's time to turn those kids over to God. Are you seeking God's blessing and God's direction for your children? And then lastly, we see a picture of Christ in her child. A marvelous birth, a mysterious death, a miraculous resurrection. This boy died later on. Who knows when? God only knows. Jesus is alive forevermore, and he can be your Savior. I said earlier, lead your children to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But maybe, Mom, you're here today, or Dad, or maybe you're neither Mom nor Dad. You need Jesus as your Savior. He's the only Savior, and the only way to receive him is to invite him into your heart, to believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, that he was buried for your sins, and he rose again the third day. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Mom, Dad, kid, whatever, whoever you are, will you receive Christ as your Savior? And having received him, Mom, a challenge has been issued. Model the faith for your children so that they can be saved and so that you can have them forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this interesting story, including sneezing. We just ask, during this time of invitation, you would speak to us individually, whether we're moms or dads or brothers or sisters or whatever we may be. We thank you that we all need a Savior, and Jesus is the one and only Savior. And so if there's somebody here or somebody watching who needs to receive Christ as Savior, give them grace and faith to believe right here, right now. Help our moms and our dads to model the faith for our families. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, hymn 414, please stand.